After constantly being bombarded with emails, phone calls, and text messages on a daily basis asking, what would you do? Sometimes it's an, oh crap, I made a mistake, help me. And sometimes it's just a question about the latest technology and do we feel it's worth the investment? We want to help answer all of these questions. So, welcome to What Would Larry Do? Featuring Dr. Ann. We'll be interviewing experts in the industry to help answer the questions that you desire to know the answers to. And now, it's time for What Would Larry Do? Featuring Dr. Ann.
Hello, and welcome to What Would Larry Do? I am Dr. Ann Watwood, and I'm here with Larry Helwig this morning.
Good morning, good morning.
It's finally starting to be nice here in Arizona.
Yeah, 93 is the high. That's like, whoa, we love it.
I know. It's pretty bad to say, but it's good.
Yeah, and Friday, so we got happy hour this afternoon, and we got a good time for weekend, and I think you have to work.
I do. I was going to say, keep rubbing it in. I have to fly to Atlanta tonight, work all day tomorrow, so I don't even want to hear it.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. When you guys went to Atlanta with me a couple weekends ago and you guys were complaining about the flight, I was like, you know I do this every single month.
Yeah, it was a long trip.
Yeah.
It's all good.
All right. Well, introduce our guest for us, Larry.
We have a great guest for today, a good friend, Dr. Richard Goldfarb. And I've known him for a number of years now. We've been on the podium together with some companies. And Dr. Goldfarb has been in the industry for a long time, has done a lot of everything from head to toe. He's known for some of the R&D that he's done. He's actually done a lot of evaluations for different companies, speaks on their behalf, and is extremely knowledgeable. And I'm gonna let him go into the details of everything about him. But before we start, did you come this weekend to watch the Cardinals beat the Eagles? Just out of curiosity, you know, he's from the Philadelphia area, so I thought, you know, I needed to just get a little clarification on that before we start.
No, we actually came to watch the Eagles beat the Cardinals, so that we'll be 5-0,
and we'll be 2-3. Yeah, yeah, we've had a rough year, so yeah, I'm kind of hoping for a little breakout game this weekend. We'll see.
Yes,
better keep those fingers crossed.
Yeah, no kidding. All right. Well, Dr. Goldfarb, we're thrilled to have you. And if you could shed a little more light on your past and everything you do, and then we'll get into the topics of the day.
Well, thank you. And thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. It's really a pleasure to be here. And what I really enjoy most is my time I spent with Larry as we worked with a kind of an innovative company in the past. And we did a lot of workshops together, and he's just superb and really, really a talent. And our relationship on those type of scenarios was really great personally, but we think we really have helped a lot of our colleagues. Because when in doubt, that's what we really want to do is, is really help our colleagues and most of all help our patients get better outcomes.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And so today you're talking, we're going to start off, we've got a couple great topics.
We do.
So we're going to do one podcast on threads, and I think the two of you will be doing a lot of that. You can look at me and observe a few things. Here I am.
Like we always say, you're the beauty of the practice and I'm the brains.
And we will be talking about technology and how it's changed. That will be the next podcast. So stay tuned for that one, because we're going to kind of go through the history. And since we do have a history, having done this for a long time, we're going to go through some of it and where it started and where it is today. So I think that'll be exciting. Mm-hmm. And but today, everything about threads and how big they are and important they are and all of that. So, you know, get started.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I've been waiting for a while to do this podcast because, you know, if it's just me and Larry talking about it by ourselves, this is definitely my forte. But it's one of my passions. It's something I do every day. And, you know, it's a pleasure for us to have you because you're one of the pioneers of this part of the industry. You know, it's been, what, about 8 years now since FDA approval or a little bit more?
Yeah, it's a little more than that.
Yeah.
They actually approved it in 2008.
Okay.
Was our first approval.
And you did some studies, yes?
Yes. So
tell us about that.
So the original FDA approval for threads really came from the company Silhouette.
Okay.
So the Silhouette thread was the first one that was approved, and we did our FDA trials in my office in Philadelphia. And we obviously had to show the safety. We did cadaver studies. We did animal studies to make sure that the material did not react in a negative way. And it really took an awful lot for the FDA to actually approve it, despite the fact that they're really suture material. We thought it would be an easy pathway, but it certainly was not.
Mm-hmm.
But
and that came partially from the fact that the original polypropylene threads that were permanent had a lot of complications and got pulled from the market. But the Silhouette ones had that same dissolvable cone, but then they were that polyglycolic lactic acid that would break down, right?
That's correct. But the actual polypropylene, as we know, proline stayed in place.
Mm-hmm.
So it really gave us a more of a permanent result. But, you know, we all know that the patients age, and that may not be the optimal thing, because if that stays fixed in an area and then the skin laxity continues, you may not want that. So that kind of has fallen out of favor, although we still do use it at times for certain patients in certain situations.
Yeah, and then out of the Silhouette, then eventually it came into the world of PDO or polydioxinone sutures that then were able to be turned into threads for the same cosmetic procedures.
Yes. So just from the history of threads, before the approval came about, there was a thread on the market called contour threads.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Unfortunately, contour threads was a business and not really presented as a medical device. And they would stand in front of an auditorium of 300-400 people, from physicians to, you know, nurse practitioners and all other type of varied industry people without any credentials needed. And all they would do is sell these threads. You'd have somebody up on a stage and then they would go out and sell that. Basically, we always laughed and said if the person who's cleaning the streets wanted to buy them, they'd have no problem selling it.
Gosh.
So the complication rate went through the roof.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The second thing happened is that the ASPS, American Society of Plastic Surgery, totally said this is ridiculous and this should not be in the aesthetic industry. And the FDA actually got involved and pulled the threads.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, I had to fix an awful lot of those complications back in those days. So then when we went through, and I think that's why it took us so long with Silhouette to get approved.
Do you recall the dates about when that was?
2006, 2007.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, really a difficult time. So threads kind of got a bad reputation.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a lot to overcome.
Yeah.
And the other aspect is now that we use what's called the PDO threads, which you have mentioned, it really is a nice situation because it really will dissolve and go away with hydrolysis. In about 6 months, the material goes away, but the results will stay much longer because of the collagen, the neocollagenesis that builds.
Mm-hmm.
So we really feel like it's a thread that's really made an impact and will stay. What's really important is the companies that I particularly work with and we work with are based on not a financial reward as much as education reward.
Yes.
And we certify different colleagues that we work with in how to perform this procedure. And it's really, really important that education be the primary focus of what we do.
Right. And I think with almost everything, and especially threads, nowadays, if you don't know the anatomy and you don't know what you're doing and you can't get in the right plane and you just settle for that, you're going to have all kinds of problems and complications and phone calls and what have you. So, again, I think education with everything is paramount. But I think with threads, I mean, because we all have seen botched treatments, and it doesn't have to be. I mean, it's the procedure when you know it and you understand it. Everything that I have seen looks pretty straightforward when it's being done by somebody who knows what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't know what you're doing, you're going to have problems. It's just education.
Yeah. Which I think is very similar for any injectable, because fillers are the same way, right? Fillers seem very easy to those of us who've been doing them for years, but if you don't know what you're doing, you can end up with lots of complications, and I feel like this really falls into that. But, you know, I want to start to take us down the path of the PDOs, because, you know, you and I do a lot of trainings for this. I use a ton of this in our practice. Like, since I think we started with the PDOs around 8 years ago, eight-ish, I want to say.
Yeah.
And even back then, the initial PDOs, or polydioxinone, again, dissolvable sutures, used in surgery for years, just the evolution that they've gone through in the last like 8 years or so. It's night and day difference for not only results, but lack of complications and things like that. But these guys came about, wasn't it from facial acupuncture that people were doing and leaving the little threads along the tracks?
Yes. Yeah. That's exactly how it came about with this particular company that we both work with. And they really have revolutionized the thread. And we can mention their name, Benev, who really controls the industry because they're the largest producer of needles and acupuncture needles. And they're the only company that has the approval in the market to have a thread, which you can't patent, to have a thread attached to an actual cannula and needle. And because of that, makes this procedure significantly easier and safer and more effective.
And that's, you know, one of the things. It was, I think we flew to Ed Zimmerman's office when we were originally trained. And there was different types of threads back then that definitely had some complication risks with them. And, you know, it's like you said, with the evolution of their products, it's come a long way. And, you know, I want to dive into really what the threads are, because there's two basic types that we're dealing with. And anytime I'm teaching PDOs, I break them down into two categories, into the smooths and into the barbs. And so the first thing I want to kind of talk about are, what are these little smooth threads and what are they used for? Because with the Benev, and we use the MiraQ brand in our office, there's monos, there's screws, and then I do want to talk about the mesh, because for me, that's something that's so unique and probably like one of the most underutilized tools in practitioners. But what are these little smooth threads?
So the smooth threads are really placed in certain areas very superficially, and they're really meant to stimulate neocollagenesis or smooth out those little fine lines and wrinkles that we all develop, males and females, certainly in the cheek area and what we call the rhytids, and certainly over the upper lip. So despite us trying to put filler in that area and maybe add a little bit of a neurotoxin here and there, there really isn't an answer for how to smooth that out, except maybe for some additional laser work. So what we like to do is combination therapy, which I think is the holy grail of everything we do. And we do that with our little lasers, and we may put a little bit of our filler in there, and then you'll still have those little fine lines, and we put these little smooth threads, which are essentially like a hair that's on your head. They're really easy to place and very superficial, and they actually are dye-coated in a purple color, so you're not too superficial, and certainly you go too deep either. And they break down over 6 months. They're eliminated by what's called hydrolysis. And the result is that they leave this collagen base there that's very, very smooth.
And we've got a couple photos to pop up just for people to see the idea. So I've got a photo of doing some mono mesh work in a cheek that they'll put the photos up for us that we can see. So here's where you can see where these little smooths have been placed in a cheek area in order to stimulate collagen in that area. So these definitely make really fun Instagram photos. And I also have one where I did this thigh. So I was treating thigh laxity. She had done different technologies. So here's where I put a whole bunch of threads in. And when you're talking about combination, I actually took PRF and injected it down each one of these threads after I pulled them out, just to help. So this lady had done, actually, I believe it was a series of M-tones with us. So she was doing radio frequency first, and then we did this as like the writing on the icing on the cake to really help tighten up those thighs. Since the thigh lift, I mean, the surgery is not really what a lot of people want to have to go through.
Yeah, nor is it successful. It's the hardest skin area to maintain. Because notoriously, after doing thigh lifts, which we used to do regularly, the laxity comes back, and then that scar that you put in the inguinal region is showing through their bathing suit, and women are notoriously unhappy with that procedure and And as a surgeon, we're very unhappy with it, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Going back to the lip, can you put the fines like in the vermilion border just to give you a little raised effect?
Yeah. Yes, you can. And in fact, when we get to another area, I'm going to mention what else you can put in there.
Yep.
Okay.
That's in the thread world.
Yep. Right. Yeah. Okay. So I definitely have, I have some of the screws around the lips. I have smooths all over this part of my face.
I've been wanting to talk to you about that.
It's probably one of my favorite things, though, because I'm a perfect example where I have a long, narrow face. So I don't like, I don't put filler anywhere down here for me because it's only going to make me look heavy, change the shape. But I'm also getting older, so I don't like a lot of the stuff that's going on. And I've used threads for years in my face around there, and I love them.
Well, being a grandmother, I can tell you she's getting a lot older. So just
rub it in. Rub it in.
You look absolutely stunning. So it's definitely working.
Thank you. Well, it does help that, you know, I have access to a little bit of everything that we go to. But, it, you know, you mentioned something very important, though, combination therapy. You know, and that's where when we did go to Ed Zimmerman's office, one of the things that he, when he was teaching all of us, explained, he looks at PDO threads as being the writing on the icing on the cake. That you build your cake with your energy-based devices, you frost it with filler and neuromodulators, and then the PDO threads are the writing on the icing on the cake. And when you're working with everything to treat the right problem, then you get people who look very natural and look good instead of, you know, using filler to treat everything, and you get a big old fat face that's blown up.
I can't agree more. I think that is such a true statement. Combination yeah. therapy, and that actually is well stated by Ed. He's quite yeah. clever when it comes to those innovative terms that he puts together.
Yeah, he did a very excellent consultation on Larry last Christmas. He gave him lots of grief about how bad his face was looking. So we've yeah. done a lot of stuff to him since then.
Yeah.
You look pretty good, Larry.
Yeah, it's turned around. I'm not used to being in that position. I like the other position better where I'm doing the consult. And but yeah, he gave me a lot of abuse, and so we've had some work to do. But anyway.
Before we jump into the next section, so these little smooths and these little screw threads, they're easy to do. I always tell my patients anywhere that we need texture or structure, that filler's not going to be a candidate, or they're not able to do resurfacing or other procedures based on lifestyle and downtime. But one of the threads that I want to talk about that's unique to MiraQ is their mesh thread. This is something that is different, and basically it's like 16 smooth threads in one. So we do have a photo of this mesh thread that we're going to pop up that's going to explain a little bit about what it is. So it's called an Elasti Mesh Fill, and you can see at the bottom, that's that gray thing going along, that's what this tube or this integrative network of smooth threads looks like. And it's a little, I call it a sock. It's like a little sock on the outside of a cannula that you insert with a cannula. So tell us a little bit about this mesh fill.
Yeah, so that's basically what I talk about mostly for the company. We go out and we've taught an awful lot about mesh fill mm-hmm. because of what you can do with it. So what it is, it's 16 wound smooth threads mm-hmm. that you can place filler, you can place fat, you mm-hmm. can place PRP, PRFM, you can place almost anything through it, or you don't have to place anything through it. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it allows the tissue to expand so that you're getting a double hit. For example, if you put filler in there, the filler will actually, number one, last longer, mm-hmm. but the filler will maintain its shape, and then you're getting some results from the filler, but you're also getting the additional results of the mesh fill causing that neocollagenesis.
Yeah.
So I gave a lecture, which is an interesting thing, to at ASPS on mesh fill, the Society of Plastic mm-hmm. Surgery. And they said, boy, that's great, but you as a businessman, why would you want the filler to last an additional 8 months or so? And I said, oh, boy, if that's what you're thinking, then we definitely think differently.
Yeah.
But it's tremendously beneficial to patients. You can use it in a variety of areas. We mm-hmm. use it actually for a brow lift.
Yep.
We use it really in the nasolabial folds, and they have deep folds. The marionette yep. lines is a great area for it, and you can use it over the top of the lip, over the vermilion border.
Yep.
And it really is nice to place. It's super easy to place.
Yeah.
And the cannula attaches to a syringe of filler, whatever you'd like to use. Mm-hmm. And the results have been incredible. In fact, in about 2 more months, we'll have a 2-year result showing the difference of just placing mesh fill with a filler versus a filler. And it does show the longevity of what it does.
And, you know, even talking about doing it on its own, one of the top two areas that I will use these, where I use the mesh fill by itself, is glabellar lines and to fill in the little bridge of the nose, where those can be high-risk areas for filler for necrosis and or blindness. Correct. And this is one of the things I teach with this, you know, especially when I have inexperienced injectors who probably should not be dealing with filler there. Take the mesh. You can actually start treating this area and then not have the same risks that you have with filler. Whereas I like to attach filler and use it in other areas, even using it on your own in those areas, or maybe even a little bit of a tear trough or a malar crease where they're having issues with filler attracting water there. Since these are hydrophobic, it opens up a world of opportunities that you can actually get a little bit more volume in an area that maybe filler's not quite right or is very dangerous to put there.
Yes, I do also, and I should have mentioned that. We do use it in the tear trough area a lot.
Yeah.
It's really simple to place. Mm-hmm. It's not a painful procedure for the patient at all. And it's really, really easy to apply.
Yeah, I agree. I love using them. They're so simple. And it's a little technique to learn, but it's kind of like threads, and Larry mentioned that. Once you learn your little technique, you're like, oh, that's all I have to do. And then it just goes from there, and it's super easy.
Yes. So. It is. It's really different, and they're the only company that has this, and they have their own patent on this actual cannula attached to it and the way it's devised, and it's really been a game changer for this company.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, and just, you know, for us in certain areas, I'm still one of those that even though I've been injecting for almost 15 years now, I won't put filler in the nose or in the glabella. I don't want to. I want to go home and sleep at night. I don't want to worry that anything went wrong there, and I will put threads there all day long. And so it opened up a window for me where I'm like, I can treat this area now and not have to stress about it. And it's, patients love it. You know, it's anytime you do it. We were doing a training for a different company, and I had a lady who was there who had flown out of state, and she knows me from elsewhere, and she's like, will you fill in my bridge with filler while I'm here? And I was like, nope, but I will put threads in you if you want. And the whole class was like gathered around, watched me pop them in. It took, 5 minutes? Because I was literally running out the door to catch a plane. But I'm like, this is so fast. I popped the 2 little mesh right in there in the bridge and then ran out the door and caught my plane.
Problem solved.
I know. Yes, that was funny because when I first said no, she's like, oh. But I'm like, but here's what I can do for you.
So. Well, and I think too, you know, you always have to train to the lowest common denominator. Mm-hmm. And we don't always know the talent of everyone. What is their skill set and how much experience and background? And so when you're doing something like this, the last thing you want to do is give them something that could be a problem.
Yes.
Make it easy. Let them start simple. And then they can grow from there.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree.
Good.
Yeah. Well, I do want to bring us into the next section, which is what has made PDO threads really popular is the barbs. So, and these I feel like are threads that... you know, when we first started doing them, it's like I had to explain to patients what they were. And now we get consults on probably a weekly basis where they're showing up on Larry's schedule specifically requesting these threads. So let's talk a little bit about what these barbed threads are.
So we call these the lifting threads. Mm-hmm. So what we're doing is we're actually able to reestablish, because we know as we age, laxity occurs. Mm-hmm. We lose elastin in our skin. We lose the fact that the tightness goes, and all our patients are very, very upset with that, especially in the jowl area, the neck area. Mm-hmm. And we're able to place these type of threads that have little what's called cones on it, which catch the subcutaneous tissue, meaning the tissue below the dermal region. Mm-hmm. And we're able to really resuspend the skin in an upward fashion. And that in itself has made it an absolute winner for patients that really may or may not need a facelift, but don't want to get a facelift,
or
they're in between that, or not a candidate for
it. Yeah, and I actually have a photo of what some of the MiraQ threads look like. So when Dr. Goldfarb was kind of talking about the different cones, you can see all the way over on the left is a PDO, and then next to it is a sliced PDO. And then there's some of the different molded ones that are out there. And we will get to the Elastiline. That's the one all the way on the right where it has that big double molded cone on it. And so we will be getting to talk about that. But I always like to pop those up and kind of show what some of these threads or these cones that you were talking about actually look like on these. I do want to show some before and afters, though, as well. So I have a lower face and submental jawline before and after. So this is one of my patients that we did for that lower jawline and underneath the neck. This is her straight on. And these are 4 months apart. So this is the other reason why I have these. If you really look underneath her chin and jawline, sometimes people will say that these don't really last. But these are 4 months apart to almost the day. I treated her in early August, and we just took her photo 2 days ago. And so,
it's a great result.
Yeah, and so we're also going to put up Larry's before and afters because we did the same thing to his neck. So you can see there on the left, and then there's 1 month and 2.5 months out where for underneath his jawline, the only difference in these photos is 4 threads per side. And besides treating the laxity in the submental, the sharpness of his jawline changed, where you're getting some of that neocollagenesis where I tucked the threads back under there. He had nothing in between these 3 photos except for 4 18-gauge Forte threads per side.
Wow.
I know.
That's a terrific result.
Yeah.
It's you, Larry. You're looking younger each time I see you.
I needed it. What can I say?
Yep.
That was good.
It's just remarkable what they can do and how you can place them in different areas. What I think so unique about what Benev does is they make so many different sizes.
Yeah.
So it's really easy to take different things and place it so you don't have to worry about doing it only on a patient of this size or that size, which really makes it just user-friendly.
And actually, I have one more before and after to show for that exact reason. This is a very thin lady that you would normally not think that you would be able to get PDOs in based on her skin quality. This is immediately before and after, and there is 4 19-gauge 70-millimeter barbs on each side of her face. And so she was very thin, so I was a little bit worried to do it, but she had ended up being my candidate for a live demonstration. So I was like, well, and it's huge difference, but you're right.
Great result.
For even how thin she was still able to be treated. Now, obviously, in a perfect world, I would have gone after like PLLA or something for her because lipoatrophy was her primary concern. It was just one of those situations where she showed up. But I do want to talk a little bit about who is a candidate for these lifting threads and then who maybe is not a candidate.
Okay. I think the way I categorize it in my practice and kind of advise all my colleagues that are in this industry, it is if they have so much redundant skin, because what you're doing is you're displacing skin from one area to another. You're not making any incisions. You're not cutting it. So if they have so much laxity and so much extra skin, you're not really improving anything other than you're just going to bulge it in a different area.
Yeah.
So they're not a good candidate for this procedure.
Right? Yep.
But what I want to say is if there are patients that are in that in-between zone and they get these threads placed and then later they get a procedure done, you've done no harm to them.
Right.
And this will not prevent them from getting an eventual mini facelift if that's what's needed or a full facelift.
Which I think is the fear out there, that sometimes people think that this will create a complication for them if they choose to get a facelift down the road.
And it doesn't. It doesn't even make the dissection, having done an awful lot of these procedures, it doesn't make our dissection down to those areas any more difficult. Everybody thought, well, does that mean, you're creating, quote, collagen, or you're creating typically scar tissue?
Yeah.
And what's nice is the PDO does not cause that classic scar tissue formation.
Right.
So it doesn't make the dissection more difficult at all. In fact, it's actually nice if they're placed correctly. When you do your dissection, you can be in the plane and it just separates nicely.
That's good to know, because I think some of those contour threads or some of the other ones that maybe were causing problems, that still is kind of a myth that's out there because of the bad name that they created.
Correct.
So that's good. And we did kind of mention too, I agree with you. I always, when I'm teaching, tell people mild to moderate laxity. You know, sometimes we get people in that maybe are a little bit more severe. But for example, Larry did a consult, I would say a couple months ago, that we're starting with a lady where she went for a facelift, went for the cardiologist for approval and was denied. And so now she is not allowed to have the surgery. So she ended up getting referred to us and said, help me. She's approved to get injections and mild things like that, but she is not approved for any kind of cutting based on her cardiac issues that she has going on. And so she's here saying, help me. And at that point, you know, at least we can set the expectation of less than optimal results. And we're starting with, the threads are not what we're starting with. We're starting with a whole bunch of other facial sculpting procedures, resurfacings, you know, some polylactic acid, all these other things, and the threads will eventually be in there. But they sometimes can be candidates, even if they're in that, you know, more severe zone.
Yeah, and they can be. And there'll be improvement. And I think the key word is improvement.
Mm-hmm.
It's like anything else, even when we do facelifts, you know, yeah. It's definitely an improvement. You know, it isn't going to be this miracle work that's going to stay forever and a day yeah. because the aging process continues. And a lot of times you have to repeat it. The one thing I did want to mention that we do with threads, a lot of times we'll place threads. And what's nice is when they come back for their follow-ups, if we think one side's not as smooth or as lifted as the other side, right. it's really very, very simple just to add an additional thread or two.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that on our follow-ups because, yeah. again, what is our aim and our goal is to really get patient satisfaction.
Yeah.
And basically, we have to be satisfied too. I'm yeah. usually a worse critic than my patients are.
I am too. I just did a touch up on a lady, I think it was yesterday, where everything looked really great. She needed a slight tweak right here. And that was exactly it. And she was so grateful. And, you know, she's like, I'm not here complaining. And I said, I know, but the result that I sold you a couple weeks ago and that I was expecting was not quite there. And we just needed a slight tweak. And even though lower face was perfectly, we just needed the tiniest bit. You just pop in one more on each side. And it, not only was she extremely grateful when she's done, but now I feel like I gave her the result that I was promising.
That's really it in a nutshell.
Yeah. And that's what I love about it, you know. And with these, that's what I tell, you know, any of my colleagues that I'm training, I look for two things. Number one, I'm looking for really good skin quality. You know, I don't, if it's that solar elastosis, extremely damaged, sun damaged skin, they need other things before threads. Maybe a bunch of the little monos and screws everywhere, but possibly resurfacing. And then realistic expectations. Those are your two biggest things, I feel like, when you're treating patients with lifting threads.
Yes, so. I think so, too. But we really do want to pay attention to the skin quality and mm-hmm. everything after. We generally will wait about 6 weeks or so after we place the threads so that they get some real mm-hmm. neocollagenesis before we'll actually do some intense laser work.
Right. Yeah.
Right. We do. A lot of times when patients come in for the consult, they make an appointment. They'd like to have the results by the time they get to us.
Yeah.
So people are in a hurry. But, you know, I always like to break them into different categories, and skin quality is obviously one of them. Another is, you know, I forgot I have a wedding next month or something,
gosh.
You know. And so sometimes it's a time related. And if I can take a, you know, 60-year-old and get to work with her for 6 months, 8 months, maybe a year, and then finish it off with threads or whatever we want, beautiful. But sometimes people have to have something quicker. And the thing I do like about threads is you can make a difference overnight. I mean, it really does make a nice difference. And for those that just have to have something now and, you know, a quick change, and then we can still add other technology down the road.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think that is huge. And the whole idea of collagen, once they understand that as the thread goes away, it becomes collagen. And I always like to remind them that these collagen bundles are really, really small, but very powerful, and that each collagen bundle can literally lift or hold between 22 and 88 pounds.
Yes.
And that's just significant, you know. And once they start understanding that and how important that is, it's kind of like whoever has the most collagen wins. And, you know, what we're going to be doing is adding collagen to your face while lifting it, you know, that type of thing. And so it's just win-win for all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do. Can't agree more. I think it's just really something that adds to our, quote, armamentarium that we can do for our patients. And I think it's really, if people are not doing it, they really need to add to their practice this procedure, because I think it really makes a major difference.
Is there any idea of what percentage of the practices do it versus not doing it?
I'd say it's small. I mean, I think it's grown a lot in the last couple of years, but I still think it's really small.
Yeah. I do too. Overall, I think it's very small.
But then you have a lot of new people, and when they're first starting off, then they're probably not starting with threads. They're starting with some real basic stuff. And so that gets added on later. And probably over the last year, we've seen it here. I mean, there's like a new med spa every week, you know, or more. We have 1,500 competitors here, and I suspect that's grown by 200 or 300 in the last year or two without question.
That's actually a good point to bring up at this, because I do want to talk about complications, but the importance of education and training and seeking out proper training so that you are really understanding how to do the procedure properly, as well as, you know, avoiding or minimizing complications. And I feel like sometimes people just want to watch YouTube videos and then buy stuff and go do it. And that just drives me crazy.
Yeah, me too.
So I love things and videos being out there for just educational purposes as far as expanding your knowledge. But as far as performing procedures, I think it's really important to seek out proper training. And so I think that's something that you do a lot of and can really help people with that.
Yeah, having the position as medical director for Benev in this particular division, I obviously have to field all the calls. And we do get, I don't say a lot of calls, but some calls. Mm-hmm. Some complications are really not bad complications. We haven't really seen any horrendous complications, knock wood, no permanent complications. In fact, I'm actually authoring a book, which will be out next year, on complications of threads in the overall. So it's a lot of work to write a chapter in that type of scenario, but that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, and I do want to talk about a couple, because I think the most feared out there is having a visible thread, which we have a photo. Apparently I need to drink water and less coffee this morning, but I'm not going to do that. We have a photo of what a visible thread looks like. So this is if somebody places it too superficial, which for me, it's very fixable. You know, it, especially if they're checking this before they trim them, then you can actually fix this right on the spot, correct?
You can.
So, you know, I think that's one of the important things when people are training, is making sure that they're looking at everything before they're finalizing it, because it is fixable at that point. And if they don't fix it right then and there, they can still fix it later, correct?
Yes, they can. And there's various things that we teach in our course as far as how to fix that and what to do and how to treat those kind of complications like that. But honestly, that will go away.
Yeah.
And there are ways that we can try to get it out, number one. There are ways that we can help dissolve it quicker as another type of thing that we do in our practice. Mm-hmm. And there are other complications you can get, such as sometimes irritating some of the nerve endings. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness most of it's called neuropraxia, which is a stretching of the nerve and not necessarily transecting it. And those can be treated very simple, right at the point of what we call the point of maximal intensity, called the PMI. And we put a little steroid and we put a little longer-acting local anesthetic in there. And that basically takes away the swelling around the little nerve ending.
Yeah.
And the patients get great relief. And eventually, we're able to separate that little scar tissue around the nerve ending.
Yeah.
And we teach that in our courses. Because I think the best thing is to really, in your training, is not only to know how to place them, you have to know how to deal with these type of things.
Yep.
And if we don't train them on how to know that right then and there, and so they don't just panic and say, oh, I don't know what to do. The patient loses confidence, and then, unfortunately, it can cause major, major problems. So we do teach that in the course, and we spend a lot of time on it.
Yep. Yeah, which is, I have a photo of a puckering that can happen, and these are always the ones that I really hope happen in my trainings, because you can fix it right then and there. And so this is known as skin dimpling or puckering, and just basically where this thread is snagged a little superficially and pulling the skin up. But I would say this is probably the easiest of all the complications to fix.
It is.
But yet it scares so many people. I mean, literally, you just unhook it with your thumb and they're good to go. And, you know, I always talk about this a lot in my trainings as well, because if for some reason they have some swelling post-procedure and the physician misses this, or nurse, or, you know, nurse practitioner, and the patient shows up at 2 weeks and has it, you can still fix it right then and there. My experience has been it'll be very tender for the patient, but you inject it with a little bit of lidocaine, pull on it, unhook it, and it was there. And I was doing a thread training actually last Saturday. It was a retrain of somebody who's been trained, and she'd had a complication of puckering right along. And it's exactly what I did for her patient. I actually slid a cannula down, put several dots of lidocaine along the track, and then just unhooked it right then and there. And it was immediately, it's funny, the patient could feel immediate relief.
Yes.
She's like, oh, it feels so much better already, even though I use the tiniest amounts of lidocaine. And so I always think that that's important to discuss. And I always tell my students, you know, I hate to say this, but I kind of hope it happens. I don't want one of you guys to feel uncomfortable that you did it. But if we all learn how to unhook it right here and now, you'll be less stressed out when it happens in real life in your practice.
Yeah, I think that's important. I think that's really a great lesson. I know you do an excellent job in those trainings. So I'm so thrilled that you're part of the team, because it's really important that you, again, are able to handle and deal with these kind of problems as they occur. And if you do enough of them, like we say in surgery, if you don't have any complications, you haven't done enough, or you're not telling the truth.
Yep, it's a numbers game.
It is.
Yep. No, and the other one that I want to talk about that I think is extremely avoidable, but I also feel like gives threads a bad name, is infection.
Yes.
And so I want to bring that up a little bit, because, you know, it's not a sterile technique, it's a clean technique.
Correct.
But I think it needs to be as clean as possible. And I would have to say, when it comes to things like YouTube videos and stuff, when I watch people just running threads right through their hair, straight down on the inside of their face, and I'm thinking, did you clean that before you rubbed the cannula through their hair? When's the last time the patient showered before they came into your office? And I think that's a very technique driven, but I think needs to be discussed with people. You know, number one, keep your technique as clean as possible. But number two, I think that I find is patients can be guilty of doing stupid things once they leave your office.
Yeah, they can. And one of my colleagues that I work with, Dr. Himmelstein, really emphasizes that for 24 hours, he doesn't want them washing their face, putting any soap on it. You want that little opening which you made in the face to seal for that 24 hours. So we're really cognizant of that too, and we try to cut down on the infection.
Yeah,
We prep them pretty severely at the time. And I mean that sincerely. We really make sure that they're clean.
Yep.
We do try to put a little piece of tape.
Yeah.
And one of the little tricks we use to actually plaster the hair out of the way is we'll use a little triple antibiotic ointment that actually, instead of like an Aquaphor or something, over the sites. And what we're able to do is we try to keep it as clean as possible. But then again, it can happen.
Yeah.
We don't pre-treat these patients with antibiotics anymore.
Nope.
Years ago in the Silhouette days, we did.
Yeah.
But we don't anymore. And again, it has to be done as a clean procedure.
Yeah.
It is not an absolute sterile procedure, but it's clean. Because the face and the head is so vascular, generally speaking, we don't run into a whole lot of problems with infections.
Yeah. And same thing. I'll either use gauze that's soaked in chlorhexidine or hypochlorous acid and tape that down too, so it's all around the zone. And then the other thing is I'll usually either use like a little Steri-Strip or little Band-Aids over their ports when they leave and instruct them to leave it on until the next morning. Because then at least you're getting the whole rest of the day with it being protected. And I think those little things are easy to do that can minimize it. And I've started having discussions with my patients of just, you know, realizing people don't know what creates infection. Here in Arizona, the lakes and rivers are like cesspools. So I tell them, absolutely, 48 hours, you are not allowed in any dirty water. I don't care if it's a public pool with kids. I don't care if it's your pool in your backyard. Don't let your pets lick your face. Don't let your little doggy butt sleep right against it at nighttime. You know, people do strange things.
That's true.
And so sometimes I think that an infection comes from a patient doing something that they shouldn't. But we have to remember, you kind of just have to list off everything they can't do.
We do. We have pretty extensive instructions to them. Granted, most of them probably do not read it, but I think that's really good to put a little cover over the entrance sites, and we do that.
Yep, and same thing. And then, you know, you can even give them extra ones to take home. So if for some reason they peel it off the next morning and you want them to wear it the next day, I think there's a lot of things that can be done. And, you know, even just in the last couple months, because we get lots of training classes, you know, I've had some physicians in that say, oh, no, I'll never do threads in my practice. They create such horrible infections. And I'm like, it's not the thread. It's either the practitioner and the technique or the patient did something. But that's not the standard of what I see. We've never had an issue with it. So
we haven't either. But it certainly can happen.
Yeah. Nope. And it's, I mean, you know, we've had it happen with the resurfacing where, you know, patients go and clean out pet cages on day two when they have no skin and wonder why they have a raging infection.
Yes.
Or go visit a friend in the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what? Are you crazy?
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
You're visiting your friend in the MRSA ward after you've had holes poked in your face?
That's true.
Sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, and, you know, those are the main complications that I usually teach about, because you brought up the nerve issue and everything else like that and staying in the proper plane. The one thing that I don't think that gets brought up sometimes, I mean, I always talk about it too, is people, if they do get in the wrong plane, you know, if you're feeling lots of resistance, don't keep pushing forward.
Correct.
Because you could be puncturing through a muscle. And even though it won't cause permanent damage, you're going to end up in a plane you shouldn't be in, or you can cause, you know, hematomas or other issues for the patients. So.
Again, if it's not flowing in the right direction and you are getting resistance, there's a reason for it.
Yep.
And that's part of what we have to teach and we have to keep emphasizing.
Yep. And then just make sure always stop and ask questions.
And we are able to basically pull the thread back out with certain of our, what's called our Forte threads.
Yep.
Some of the others you can't pull out, but this makes it really user-friendly for us.
I agree, because that was one of the things we did not have in the past. If you backed up at all, that thing was gone. But yes, I agree with you on the Fortes, especially if you clamp down really tight, you can back up and reposition. So if you get going in the wrong plane, stop, reposition, and then you'll feel when it's in the right plane.
So what people have to realize is the face is a curvilinear structure, and these needles and cannulas and threads are very straight. So what we do is we have to position our patients that way. I also love to taut the skin as tight as I can so that I make sure I maintain it in the same plane. Number one, not going in different planes, it will not be discomforting.
Yeah.
And number two, you'll obviously get your optimal result.
Yeah, I agree. No, it's, we love doing them. I do them pretty much every single day I'm treating patients in my practice. I have thread lifts.
So, that's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a lot of fun with it. Larry loves being the patient.
Go for it.
That's great.
I'm not going to lie. He gets tortured by me a lot for different things. I'm like, hey, I want to try this out. Will you be my patient today?
Well, that's good, Lair.
Yeah, most of the time it works out well.
We won't bring up the nerve ablation thing.
Yeah, that's the one thing that did not work out. But you didn't do it.
I didn't. I was the assistant, but I didn't actually do it. So I don't get to take credit for that one. That was an interesting one. Well, good. Well, I think we're getting ready to wrap up this. Do you have any last words of advice for our listeners on any type of thread lifts or, you know, anything that you would suggest?
No, I think it's really interesting. One little comment I wanted to make earlier is it's interesting how Dr. Coulter, who actually came up with this idea about threads, they were out, but nobody had really come up with it. And he was a physician out in California, and he said he was tired of his wife going in the mirror and always pulling up on her face and doing this. And he said to her, why can't we make that something easy where I don't have to make a big incision, I can just pull this up? And that was basically how he writes in his book, his memoirs now, because he passed away, of how he really devised how to do these and what it really takes. And I think that really helps with our vectors. You kind of push up on your patient, and you really can get an idea of exactly what kind of results you're going to get.
I agree. That's an interesting tidbit. That's always good to know. I love hearing the innovation of people out there where they see a problem and then they figure out a way to apply.
That's exactly how he came up with it.
A technique to it. Well, good. Well, that's interesting. Well, Larry, what about you? Any last words of advice for our listeners?
I think I'd like to just summarize. Number one, great technology. It's changed. It's better. If you're not doing it, you ought to consider doing it. Get trained. Do not consider this YouTube video your training. you know, just to reiterate.
Yeah.
But hopefully it does inspire you to get into it. And for patients, you know, it's a great treatment. You just, you know, want to make sure someone has done a few of these mm-hmm. and they're comfortable with it. But, you know, it's fantastic to do. Everyone benefits from it. And I think this is going to be something that's going to continue to grow and grow and grow over the next, you know, however many years, because the changes that can be made so quickly and so easily, it's well worth it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, yeah. So that's it. That's my feedback, my comment.
He's got to put his 2 cents in.
Yep.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining us, yeah. Dr. Goldfarb.
Yeah, thank you.
We appreciate you being here in Arizona. And thank you guys all for listening, and we will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to What Would Larry Do? Featuring Dr. Ann. Hear it live each week here or anytime 24/7 on demand at StarWorldWideNetworks.com.